You're listening to the 405 Exchange Podcast. My name is Ken Grandpierre, and today's episode is with Albert Hammond Jr. You might know him as the guitarist of The Strokes, but he's also found himself becoming quite prolific with an ever-evolving solo career. His latest album, Francis Trouble, is his most exuberant body of work to date. The joyful guitar chords play at contrast with the subject matter of the lyrics, which touch upon the death of his unborn twin brother. That's pretty heavy, right? Well, not according to Albert. Within this candid talk, he goes into why learning about the experience was anything but dark and how it unexpectedly left him feeling creatively inspired. This is the 405 Exchange with Albert Hammond Jr. Enjoy. You know, a friend of mine told me a few weeks back how when you were touring in Europe, you had a very comical experience trying to re-enter a venue. Do you remember this?
Trying to re-enter a venue?
Or probably trying to enter a venue in general. I think you guys were locked out or something like that.
And this recent one?
Yeah, I think it was like when you were touring with Franz Ferdinand like a couple weeks back.
Did we have a weird... I know. So much stuff happens. I swear to God, that could have been, even though it wasn't that long ago, technically, if you were doing something else. But in tour life, it feels like it could have been a different person. Did he tell you what happened?
I think it was that you guys couldn't get into the venue or something like that, and you just had a lot of different tries. Like, it was almost like a Looney Tunes cartoon where you tried different ways of getting in or something like that.
I mean, there was that in the UK, I guess, and
wasn't there
Brixton, we kept walking, and they were like, no, one more door.
Yeah. Spinal Tap S.
Yeah. There's always a lot of that, though. You'd be surprised how much of the, where, you know, Hello Cleveland from Spinal Tap happens in bands. It's almost like they designed it like that.
You know, what's been really interesting for me, knowing I was going to be able to talk to you again, was just wondering, like, how awkward it has been for you talking about the subject matter of this album, like, time after time. Like, I wonder, like, how have the questions been for you? Like, people asking you about...
Oh, I mean, it's not... I don't find topics to be awkward. I'm not someone who... I wouldn't have said it or have made it a thing if I was going to be awkward about it. It becomes funny because it depends on the day, you know? The energy you have, you explain things the same way, you find new ways. Sometimes in the process of explaining it, you even discover new things. So it's kind of, it's a funny thing to do because it's never really set. It's always constantly in motion, as it was when it first started. It wasn't like an idea and I just had it and did it. It was like something that morphed over time. So,
well, I really want to go deeper into that because sure. Hearing some of the stuff, the way you described what the album is about with previous interviews, like, that led me to wonder, like, when did you realize that overall this album was about that experience, about your brother and that experience? Like, I'm curious if that...
Well, it was more like, that's like a stitching in a jacket, you know, it holds it together, but it's not something that's noticeable or something you know... taken at first glance, even though it's such a big part of it. It's a mixture of things. It's like, it's about, you know, you start doing things and your discovery of it organically, and then life, universe shows you different things and you can accept them or ignore them, and how you use them for where you are at the moment is really what it is, you know. That's the whole process. I was already dabbling, and you can say I was dabbling and pushing away from myself for a long time. I was just did it poorly or didn't understand it, and then as I understood it more and I began the very vague ideas of, forget even the music, just of like seeing myself from outside of myself to help break walls that I built out of fear and insecurities, then information like this comes, and it just, you let your imagination go crazy with it, and you can relive your entire youth imagining all the possibilities. And so it just becomes, I feel like creating is like letting your mind just wander, and is that side, and then life is just like the routine, and they conflict very hard. You know, one doesn't care about the other one. So you have to like balance that out, and that's kind of like when I let myself wander, is how all of this kind of came together. That's like the simplest way I can put it, because nothing is right away, or one thing, or straight, or, you know, it's all a complex series of events and thoughts and mistakes, and then progressions that feel like you're going the right way, and other new ideas, and then very important to keep yourself aware of your surroundings and what's happening to you, because I feel like a lot gets given to you, but you can go unnoticed, because it's something you have to train yourself to see. I'm not saying I see it perfectly, but I've definitely picked up on aspects of it.
Well, what's interesting about what you just described there is I feel like that's very much at the root of the contrast of the album, where there's a lot of self-awareness going on lyrically, but what's interesting musically is very euphoric, like a very joyous. And I think for people, I mean, I should probably state this for people listening who don't know this, all the songs are inspired by your twin brother who died in the womb. And if I remember correctly, it was a thumb or a fingernail that was left behind?
Yeah, a thumb would have been amazing. I like the idea. Yeah, it came out at 5 months. Yeah. My dad took it out of the toilet, whatever, brought it to the doctor. I don't know why. I've always been kind of curious, but maybe you're just in shock, so you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Told my mom she was pregnant, but basically later on, moving to like when I got told, yeah. I always knew about the twin, but when I got told about this, I just imagined us like colliding or like trying to help, or the idea that I was in this very intimate space with this other being that had energy that then went away. Like, that must have affected, you know, the space I was in.
Because anything would.
Anything, well, of course. Anything coming in, going away is you know, yeah, cause and effect. You know what I mean? It's, something must have happened. So the idea that parts of it were left was just, it was a fingernail, but also just like, I don't know if it was like a placenta, or I don't know if it was like, you know, I know that you have fingernails and hair, but I don't know what exactly it was. It's just like, it's described through an aunt 36 years later. So it's like, you know, it's never gonna be like, you know, show me pictures or I don't believe you. And that came from something else. When I finished, I feel like on the road and studio have two different things and they kind of feed off each other. And touring Momentary Masters, well, it even started on the EP. You know, things come to light, you see what you're missing in your set, you get excited. But when I came back from Momentary Masters, I knew a basic concept of what I wanted to make, of like a visceral record, a record that would be impactful. I just knew like I want what kind of excitement I wanted. Now that's not really saying much and it's very vague and you can fail very easily, but it's enough to get you excited. You know, you don't need much, and then you have these ideas and you see them grow quickly in the demo stage, and so that furthers the excitement and starts to mix with what you thought it would be. And then it's like it just starts exploding and growing and making a mess, and sometimes destroying what came before and to make something better.
I remember Momentary Masters was created in your home upstate. Was Francis Trouble made there?
So is this one, yeah. They all, I mean, I did singing and writing in different places. I sang vocals in LA, and it's funny because I sang Strangers in my mom's apartment while the workmen were like fixing her bathroom. So if you see video that my wife has, it's like I'm there in the kitchen, but it's a pretty open apartment, singing the song, and then she walks towards and like people are like banging on. But then they ended up whistling the song. It was so funny. The workmen are like whistling the song.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
How does it feel having like a new band on this album too? Because I remember on the last album specifically, you had the touring band who recorded on it, and this time it's a bunch of new guys. How's that?
Yes. I mean, it ended up being a blessing. I find that every time something's happened where I've had to change, and maybe it's been, in my mind, it felt like it might be a struggle because it's something new, it's always turned out better.
Yeah.
Which is great. The other guys were great too, and we had a special time.
Yeah, I remember you guys were really, really close. Because I'd see you guys touring around for the EP. And then
well, we did. It kind of was forming during the EP. It came together somewhat during the recording of Momentary Masters, but it wasn't until the touring of Momentary Masters where we changed the guitar player, and then it came together even more, which was great for the record. But then I feel like this band showcases the album even better than it would have been. So it's like all these steps are really just, you know, I mean, it's like a journey for me, and that's changes how I present something. And so the new band changed stuff in me, which changed how I showcase it, which is awesome. I can't really ask for anything more. I've been super lucky with it.
Yeah, I'm more than sure you're not going to remember this, but this is relevant to this. I remember when you played the Marlin Room at Webster Hall a couple years ago.
I remember that.
Yeah, I remember talking to you a little bit before and after, and I was like asking you, like, are you nervous? And you said, it's going to be the easiest gig in the world because no one's paying attention to me. My band is so cool, everyone's paying attention to everyone else, not me. But I'm sure you're more aware now that when you're on stage, people are looking at you.
Like, sure.
Do you feel like those eyes in the sense of, like, you being in the center?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you would do a job like this if you didn't somewhat like to be that. I think there's moments when you can, happen last night in DC, where you're looking at everyone and they're looking at you and you're in the middle of a song and it's like, it feels so good to feel, I mean, I don't even know how to say this, not like not perfect, but to feel like your true self standing in whatever way is being accepted or even not accepted, is just existing in front of these people with no care. If anything, there's a joy or a rush to it. I felt it opening up for the Killers sometime, which was pretty amazing. I just felt so wonderfully myself. It's really weird, like very childlike. And I think that's where that spawned the whole alter ego too, was based on a person that existed when I was a child that went away through my adult life. But I was probably just saying that. It's probably bullshit. But I was probably just saying that. I don't know. Pushing the scope of things to the people around me, because I think the people who I find have been very special in my life. So I try to move it around. I don't look at it as that they're looking at me. It's something bigger than me. It's songs you created, and it's more, I'm there. If they're looking at me, it's I'm there because I'm singing the songs, and it's a form of like entertainment. So like they're looking at me to see what they can and can't do, which is why when I made this record, I wanted to make it something visceral, because I wanted people to move and touch, and it's been pretty great on this tour to see, you know, see audiences come in kind of cold. Maybe it's a Tuesday, they don't want to like do much, and by the end of the show, everyone's just like, it's like they were at a party. It was like Sunday at Nashville, and
there's
security afterwards was like, I was not expecting that. You know, and so it's fun. It doesn't always happen, but that's, I wouldn't expect it to. That's kind of like the challenge. That's what keeps you on your toes. It's also what changes you and makes you want different things. So, but it's definitely, that part's been amazing. I look at those old shows and, you know, it's fine. They had to exist in my arc to get to where I am, but they're just shitty compared to the shows I have now. So
really, like, you feel like these shows are a bit more truer, they represent you in a truer way?
In the best of ways, yeah. In the best of times, they are, had they come sooner, I think I would have affected more people. I think I was, which is fine, because it was like the way I was, felt like I was presenting myself, you know, like I didn't really know how to say what I wanted. And now that I do. I feel like it makes it belong somewhere different. Like when we were opening up for the Killers, the songs felt like they belonged in a room like that. The band did. I don't think I felt that before. I think before I would have felt like, oh shit, I'm in. Like, you know, you kind of cave. Whereas I felt a different kind of pride, you know? An earned pride from like a realization and not like, you know?
Like from something real, because it's like, that's from very transient experience.
Sure, and it only comes from really, which is so funny about doing this is, you know, part entertainment and part to get to the better person you want to be. I feel like you have to fail a lot in front of people, or fail in your eyes, because even in the failure, there's still great things that can happen. I'm not putting down all those shows. There's probably moments and stuff like that, but I just mean in general, and even now, you know, I'm not saying that these are perfect, but they're better than before, and they're growing, and so that's exciting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like they're not the same. I don't feel the same as I did in those shows at all.
I want to jump into the record specifically.
Sure.
I found it really interesting how the album started with The Sound of Birds in DSVL. Like, would it be a stretch to say you wanted people to feel a sense of, like, fresh air rather than the typical urban cityscape that you tend to be associated with?
I mean, I think...
That's probably overthinking it quite
a
bit.
No, it's fine. I think that's what's fun for someone to do who wasn't making it. Because sometimes people do think of that kind of stuff. And sometimes they're just happy accidents. We were recording a guitar outside. And
which most people don't do.
No, I mean no, because you can't really make that kind of noise, but it was just so loud, we wanted to compress a lot, and those were just real birds singing, and they were just so pretty. It just sounded so nice that we just put in the beginning. I mean, who knows what I was singing subconsciously, but it was so fitting with the song. I don't know, or just gave a space. Recording is just showing like a space the songs are in, right? The way an amp sounds, you kind of hear the room, so that just like felt like the space of being outside. So I feel like it changes how you might listen to something.
I asked you about joyousness before, but this specific song has a really amazing element of youthfulness to it. I mean, your music's really associated with that also, and I wonder at this stage in your career, does it surprise you that you could have such a youthful vibe within your own music?
I actually find it kind of funny when I think about it, which isn't often, but how kind of backwards I did it. When I was younger, my records were, it was more like a living room quiet record, and the older I've gotten, the more that side has come out. But I also weirdly, like, in the second coming of me discovering music, where I was a little lost in the early 30s, I the bands I kind of connected to were the Misfits and Wire and Wipers, and it gave me a new excitement for music. And so usually you find that at 15, so I feel like I found that now. So I'm like,
what do you think it was?
I don't know. You just go, I don't know. I mean, to have to, it's already hard enough to just find those things, to then go back and examine your life like that. It's just the trip that I was on brought me there. I think less important than what it was is just more, it's just better that I found it. I mean, granted, I wish I would have found this place sooner, but that's, you know.
Yeah,
maybe like, everyone hopes they wish they found the better place sooner, you know. It's just
I think most people would definitely agree with that.
You know, it just takes time. And I was just late bloomer. I started at 27. Imagine if I'd done that when I was 15, then maybe 25, it would have happened. But instead it happened at 37.
You know, I really dug Set to Attack. It felt both fresh and different to how you'd normally approach a song, especially the chorus part. Like, that really surprised me in the song as well.
Yeah, I mean, it surprised me too, because it was very, it just came out very naturally. It's the first thing I had to that song melodically was the chorus. And even with those words, I don't even know why I sang it. I was just randomly playing the chords to figure out different keys, and I just started singing it. And like, when you're creating, you just like starts doing something, and then And then maybe by the end of the melody, you're like, oh, I should see what it sounds like with that at the beginning. And then you do it the other way around. You just start, like, your brain starts just, like, doing puzzles with the melody. But that one came out pretty easy. Yeah, it's cool. It's like a triumphant song to me about that idea when... it happens more when you're younger because you have less... maybe outside things, or it's the first time you're feeling it, but there's like when emotions kind of completely overtake everything you're thinking of, can even blindly point you in a certain direction. There's something really fun about that. And so I just, to me, the song just felt like a end of The Breakfast Club where he just raises his hand and freeze frames. I just kind of wanted to like...
You wanted to put that in a song?
Yeah.
You know, a song that felt like a really big turning point for you when I listened to it was Tea for Two. Like, that's a very different type of song I wouldn't have expected you to make. And I really like that song.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I really like that one too. That's... And also the... it was fun to add... Colin, who plays guitar, played sax.
I was going to ask about the sax, because that is a fuck-all sexy sax in the song.
Well, he just... You know, when you like similar things... I wasn't even there. He was with Gus. I forget where I was, but I was coming. Was I coming back? I was? I was driving somewhere. Maybe I was coming back. Oh, okay. And then I was like... I don't know, I was just like, Twin Peaks. He was watching Twin Peaks to see the new one. And I was like, I need to sound like Twin Peaks. And they didn't. It really sounds like Twin Peaks to me.
Was it Stranger Things?
No. It's definitely Twin Peaks. Stranger Things?
For people listening, that's your wife. That's your wife chiming in. She could say hello to her. It's actually funny, because I remember a little bit before Momentary Masters came out, we caught up. We're just like catching up, talking about life. And I remember you were talking about your wife, and you were saying some of the sweetest things to this day. I think I've still heard a person say about their partner. Because I was talking to you about a relationship I was in, and you were saying the most important thing with any relationship a person could be in is knowing that that person's an actual partner. Like, knowing that sense of the word.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like it was the first time I... earlier loves had more felt like... possessions or addictions, and not
coexist.
Not purposely. Yeah. It's something you feel so strong. It becomes like this thing you like attached to, or just try to get everything from. And it's not. You realize later that, you know, the person you love. It's harder in some ways, but easier in others. And you have other aspects to your life that you do, even when you love someone. I feel like young love sometimes is just like, you don't do anything but that.
Yeah, exactly.
And the moment you don't do that, it's like something's wrong, which isn't true at all. But.
It's funny, because with the partner I have now, it's probably the most adult relationship I've ever been in. And my favorite thing about it is that I recognize constantly that we both have qualities that the other person doesn't have. But I actually like that. Like, there's things about her as a person that makes her better of a person than I am, but I like that.
Well, that's the whole thing. You're supposed to... You know, that's, in the end, what helps... grow if you can, you know. I mean, it's hard.
Gross.
I feel like but even if it does, I always feel like even if it doesn't, it still has like positive. Well, this couch is very far back. Even if it doesn't, it has positive. It's all positive. You know what I mean? All those qualities that you see. I remember being told that what you see in other people that you like. Or what you see that you don't like, you actually have. They're just like a mirror. It's just like, the hard one to accept was what you don't like is what you have too.
Which of the new songs has been grown into being a favorite for you? I feel like Screamer must go down really, really well.
Haven't played it live yet.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I know.
I feel like that's one of the songs that you would have in your back, like just like waiting for.
Yeah, I know. It was just, it's like the nature of, I don't know, if you try to like pinpoint how things are going to go, they just always go the other way.
Are you playing it tonight? Because I imagine it's a little bit of a longer set than usual. Yeah.
I'm not playing it tonight, I'm playing Tea for Two, but I do play seven. The only ones I don't play are Screamer and Stop and Go, actually. So I guess I play eight.
Which one do you think is your favorite, though? Almost totally divulged question.
They change. I wouldn't even...
I wouldn't have a favorite. It comes and goes, because when you're playing, it's like the emotion of how you connect with the band and how you feel with such simple things as like how it sounds to you in your ear, how you performed it, but then also sometimes it's not about the performance, the way the crowd accepts it. So there's all these things, so, you know, they could all be favorites on the right night.
Yeah. You strike me, definitely strike me as the type of guy who would say something like that, but that makes sense with the way you perform.
Well, the thing is, the only problem I've always had with favorites is that they limit where your emotions are, so it's constantly changing. Yeah. You know? And I feel like as soon as you say it, then it's like, it's almost like it goes away and another one will be it. So it's I like it when they just exist as like this constant thing that can just be, you don't know what your favorite is, because it's all of them and none of them.
Yeah, you know, it's a totally different vibe, but the video for Muted Beings reminded me of St. Justice a bit. Like, how was it making that video, the Muted Beings video?
It was really great. I'd never shot on 35mm, and just from the beginning, oh man, I can't believe, what was his name? I can't believe I forgot his name.
Frasier Rigg,
of course. Frasier Rigg. How do you forget the name Frasier Rigg?
It's one hell of a name.
He just had a strong idea and he had a strong vision. He really seems like a director. He's really in love with what he does, his ideas and creating. And so Justine and I liked his short films, and we just kind of let him run with it. And it turned out really cool, besides my mom telling me to never die in a video again.
Before I let you go here, I just have one more thing to ask you, and it's about like the whole album itself, because something that was really interesting to me is that the album doesn't overstay its welcome at all. And I wonder how important that was for you to make sure that the overall runtime was pretty concise, the experience of someone listening to the album was such a concise thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's just a focus of time, but it's a focus of, I had recorded 12 songs, and I played it and I liked the record, but the more I played it, two songs stood out that made me, even though sometimes I would love those songs as much as the ones on the record as a whole, it didn't make me want to hear the record again. And as soon as I took those two songs out, I could keep the record on repeat and it would always just feel new. Like if I was on shuffle, like it always like felt like it needed, like, oh, was that the whole thing? I thought there was like one more. And I feel like that's, for this type of music, I think that's an important feeling to have. You have to always feel like, oh, I wish there was more songs on it. Yeah, like a set list, oh, I wish they'd played a little longer. Because as soon as you cross that, something about it just like makes you not want to listen, and that's a bummer, you know? I don't like that. I'd rather have to want than be tired of it.
Yeah. You know, just going off that real quick, you know, because the album's so fresh, and yet it still very much sounds like at this point of your career, you're at your most comfortable. And I wonder, do you find at this stage, like, a lot of comfort within when you go into the studio now? Like, do you feel like, not that you've mastered it, but you've figured out how you, the person you are when you're in that type of mood?
I feel more comfortable saying out loud, like, oh, I think I've written really great songs. So it's not like before, you know, you feel kind of weird saying that. So I feel that, but I still have extreme emotions about it, where you go from like, I don't even know why I do this, to like, you know, man, this is so good. I can't picture why, you know, it's not in bigger venues or known by more people. So you know, that huge of an extreme. Throughout even feeling better and getting better. There is definitely an element in the studio where Gus and I have like a language with each other, and you can tell where a song's going, and I understand arrangement and parts and music a lot more, and that part's very exciting because you can dive into new areas but still try to keep it in, you know, there's still a portion of it that's entertainment, you know what I mean? I still always believe that, because I still think you're performing it for people, and it's fine to drop down to then pick up, but you have to know the story you're telling and the whole thing, which is maybe what makes set lists to me better the more albums you have, because it's a broader story you can tell. Or you can tell different stories with the same songs, just in different orders. But yeah, I mean, that's a hard question. Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. But I think that comes, a lot of it comes from not, I see it in my band members who have like studied. I almost feel sometimes like I have a dyslexia in music. Like, you know, I can't hear something, or it takes me longer than most people to figure stuff out, or I can get confused sometimes by simple things. Then again, I feel like I play really well and come up with cool things, so, but I have had deep panic moments while working with people.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So it's not like, it's not, I always think the moment, the closest thing I ever got to feeling really great has been on stage on this tour where, like I said before, where I just feel like really good, really amazing at where I'm at and how comfortable I might feel performing something, or how, you know, and not always, but that's probably the best I've felt. But yeah, for sure, I definitely am never, I don't know, I'm always worried the moment you believe it too much, it like, you just get punched in the face, like the other way, and you're like, oh, why didn't I just like, just tone it down just a little bit, and it wouldn't have been so bad. It's like if you're trying to act cool and then you trip, you know?
Well, I hope you don't trip tonight. I'm looking forward to seeing you. Thanks for catching up with me.
No, thank you, man. Yeah, tonight's gonna be good. You gonna stay?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be here all night. They all just waltzed in the